medical study called Made to Crave. And for anyone who deeply struggles with food, this book is for you. It walks you through the spiritual battle that is food. But I love this quote. And given enough power, temptation will consume our thoughts, redirect our actions, and demand our worship. So maybe you think food's not as big of a sin area as I'm making it out to be. Well, let me show you how big it is. The first sin was brought on by the temptation of consumption of something that was forbidden. Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, the first way her heart was tempted towards it was to eat it. It wasn't gaining the wisdom first, it was to eat it. The desire for food was strong enough that Esau gave up his birthright. Genesis 25:29-33. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright." "Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. He sold his birthright for some stew. So I asked myself in this struggle, would I sell my salvation for food? Well, my obvious first answer is no. But as I dig deeper, I realize that I do. Every time I turn to food over God, that's saying that I worship food more than God. That's saying that I trust food more than God. And until our eyes are open to the truth that when we're reaching into the cupboard because we don't feel good about ourselves today, we are not giving God first place in our life. We are feeding our stomachs. We are not feeding our soul. And the way that we do that is by getting on our knees and trusting God first. So are we selling our salvation for food? If we're honest, we do. Sometimes we do. Some of us do it a lot more than others. And no one's getting off scot-free here today because I'm just talking about one. I could do a series on all of them. Anything that you put your faith in above God or that you give your time to above God has now become your idol. And you are selling your salvation for that thing. To remember that food is created to feed us, but we're letting it consume us. You know, the Israelites are a good example. Man, they grumbled and complained after all God had done for them. Can you imagine walking through the parted Red Sea and going by, you know, pillars of fire by night? And yet, what did they complain about? "Oh, we are going to starve to death. Why didn't we stay in Egypt? At least there was food there." After all that God had done for them, they worried about their stomachs. This grumbling leads to failing faith. When we put other things above God to fulfill us, we lose our faith. Our faith in God's provision. So they got punished. They got to wander around for 40 years because God got tired of the grumbling. And then only then were they able to finally go into the promised land. But those who grumbled about the quail and the wanting meat, they never saw it. If you still don't think food is a temptation, if you're still not convinced, then let's go to our Lord and Savior himself. Matthew 4:1-4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." You don't think food's a temptation? It's the first thing Satan came at Jesus with. I think the truth is we need to get our eyes open, because we're being deceived in so many ways by not thinking that food is a problem for the Christian body. Like Daniel, here's a guy who came out of, you know, nowhere, and all of a sudden they're throwing these palace foods at him. Here's this rich, wonderful cake, and, you know, I can only imagine what it looked like to see palace foods if you've never experienced palace foods. And Daniel said, no, I'm not going to defile my body with these foods. Test us on this. Let us have water. And what is it? Let us have water and... Yeah. So, fruit, vegetables, healthy things. And at the end of it, they were the healthier of the crew. See, the way that we take care of our body and the way we fuel our body and the way that we treat our body, I think we do it kind of nonchalantly. I think we don't see it as an act of worship. Today I want you to challenge yourself to see it as an act of worship. A way of serving the Lord. This body is a gift. You know, we look at, and Bui said it was okay for me to say this, but, you know, we use her sister-in-law as an example. Her body is failing right now. Overrun with diabetes, that's causing all these problems, and they go to see her, and she's eating ice cream and cake, and making these poor choices. Our bodies take the punishment for our complacency, for our inability to realize that because we have the ability to eat everything doesn't mean we should. You are allowed to. Everything is permissible to you. But everything is not beneficial. Why aren't we seeing this? Why are we growing overweight and tired and sick? Because when your body becomes overweight, you become sick. When I was heavier, I couldn't run a half mile. I couldn't jog a quarter mile. I was heavy. I didn't feel good. I was tired. My body hurt. My joints hurt. And it was funny because I went to a doctor in India while we were there, and I said, I want to get healthy. I want to get fit. But it hurts. My knees hurt. And he looked at me, and they did the scans, and they came back, and they read the scans, and they said, well, your knees will stop hurting when you lose weight. Oh, my goodness. Really? You know, we do this damage. We do this harm. And then the truth is that it's our... the damage we're doing to our own bodies that we have to then undo. When we don't eat healthy or we overeat, there's consequences. If areas of struggle in our life didn't have consequences, why would we ever seek God? So if we were allowed to just consume and eat and eat and eat and eat and nothing bad happened to us, then we would never see that we're depending upon food more than we're depending upon God, and we would never turn back. Everything we do that is wrong has a consequence. And the consequences are all meant for one purpose, to turn us back to God. I believe that the body of Christ struggles with food as a number one, because God wants us disciplined in every area of our life. And I can think of no way that disciplines us more than to deny ourselves what we're allowed to have for the simple sake of saying, this is the temple of God. Amen. And I'm going to take care of it. And I'm going to use it so that I'm healthy and strong and I live a long life so I can serve my Lord. I believe that we struggle in this area because most Christians have turned away on the other sins. I would hope that we aren't having promiscuous sex and that we aren't drinking and that we aren't doing drugs. I would hope that we've turned on that. But this one I want you to know is just equal. But we ignore it because no one talks about it. This craving, this deep, deep desire for something. It's God. When your life is falling apart, when you just got fired from your job, do you come home and sit down and have a pity party with ice cream? Moving on to the bag of chips. And when you get on your knees, when life is too much to handle, do we pour ourselves into our job at work? Or do we cry out to Jesus when we've had more than we can bear? Do we expect our husband or our wife to get us through? Or do we trust in our Heavenly Father? Because I think the truth is that God sometimes comes second or third in crisis. Even for those of us who just seem to be completely, look at her faith, look at his faith. I'll admit it. When I've had a really bad day, I don't go to my knees first. I don't. But the cool thing is that I've invited God into this battle, so now when I go to reach for the food, God pulls me to my knees. He reminds me that I won't find anything in the pantry. But down there with my eyes closed, my heart abandoned, he can fill it, he can fix it, he can make it whole, make it new. And I want to tell you something about my personal struggle, because I didn't see this. There's been so many areas in my life that God has had to peel away, because I struggled from one addiction to the next my whole life. And it started with food, and I do believe that food is a gateway addiction for Christians, and what we don't realize is after a while, food's not good enough and we need more if we stray from God. Now, if we stay in God's path, obviously that's a little bit different. But through all of this, as God peeled away layer after layer and said, I'm refining you, Karen, I'm refining you. When he revealed this one to me, I was like, oh, come on. Haven't I given everything I have? I feel like I've got nothing left. And now you're going to do one thing? And God's like, yeah, because that right there, once I take that away, you got nothing but to fly. And the truth of the matter is that this consumed me, and Ryan and I talked about it yesterday as I prepared and prepared myself, and he said, it's funny, I didn't see your overeating problem when that was a problem, because I used to, oh man, guys, in secret, I could eat my feelings like no one's business. But Ryan said, I didn't see it. I didn't see how controlling food was until you gave it to the Lord a year ago, and then Satan tricked you and made it on a reverse to where you had to control food so that you didn't stumble into overeating. But now, I'm free of it. I don't have to worry about food anymore. It doesn't control me. When I look in the mirror, I don't say, oh, might as well eat. I don't say that anymore because I don't care. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. He is doing what he wants in me. He is working miracles in my life. And that's what I want to tell you. For some of you out there, you've struggled and you don't understand why. You try to get healthy. You want to get healthy. You want to lose weight. It's important to you. But you keep going through this cycle. That's because God keeps pulling you back to the cycle, because you need to realize this is spiritual. This is not physical. You have got to give it up to him. If you're not willing to, he's going to let you keep wandering in the desert till you figure it out. So we need to identify our go-to God replacement. And it needs to be removed from our lives. What form does your craving take on? What does it look like when you're at your lowest? I want everyone to think about that, because here in a minute, do we get the papers? Does everyone have a little piece of paper, a little square piece of paper? If anyone doesn't, please raise your hand now. Okay, everyone's got their little square piece of paper? Okay, just keep your hand up if you don't, and we'll get one to you. Here in a minute, I don't mind them. I want you to identify your go-to, because I don't believe that there's anyone in this room that can honestly say they don't have something that occasionally is elevated above God. I don't believe it. If you don't, you better stand up here and tell us all how you got to that place of completeness, because we all are human and we all struggle with the flesh. So whether it be in your life food, or relationships, or your job, or things or money or travel or status. Maybe it's every night when you wake up in the middle of the night and God's saying, hey, I need a minute of your time, and you pick up the phone and you do social media. Maybe that's yours. Because these cravings, they take on all forms. And tonight, while I'm here, or it's not tonight, this morning. I won't go that long. Well, I stand here. What I feel God telling me in my heart is that He wants every person in this room delivered from that little hook that Satan has in us. Because we don't see them all. They're not obvious. It wouldn't be obvious to me. My sister called me out on it because I posted on Facebook that something about that I was breaking free from this food issue and that it was sinful in my life. And she emailed me and she's like, I don't really like that you're calling that a sin. I don't really like that you're calling it that. It is sin. When you eat instead of praying, when you put food in your mouth, when you're not hungry, it's called gluttony. The thing with gluttony is He didn't give us a measurement. He didn't say, okay, if you eat this much, it's okay, but then it's gluttony. So we love it because we're like, well, I'm not gluttonous. I don't know. That's between you and God. You don't have to eat so much that you're rolling around on the floor for it to be gluttony. It's a matter of a heart. Why are you eating? I can tell you that I honestly rarely eat when I'm hungry. I eat out of boredom. I eat out of fear. I eat out of doubt. I eat out of stress and struggle. Those are the times I eat. But when I'm hungry, hunger is not really an issue when it comes to food for me. And I struggle in this area because God is trying to discipline me from the inside out. He wants me tuned in and watching every part of my attitude. Only with God can we be truly complete. When we replace God with things that don't belong, that void, that hole, it grows bigger because it can't be satisfied. And the things you're putting in it, they have to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming because they're so temporary. God alone is meant to fill that spot. He's the only one that can fill that deep inner longing. And once we put Him there, once we let Him have that place, once we let Him fill that, we realize that no other substitution is ever good enough. But once He fills it, it's filled. But it's a battle because Satan wants us to go back. This morning I didn't eat before I came. And I woke up hungry. And I just thought, isn't that typical? I'm never hungry in the morning. But because I said I wasn't going to eat until I was done talking about this today, and I've been intermittently fasting, every day that I don't run, I'm fasting. Because I can't fast when I run. I need the energy. But when I'm not running, I don't. And I want to be stripped down. I want my flesh on the ground, squirming around, so that God and I can talk. A little bit louder, a little bit clearer. See, I think what Pastor Cronin said today is true. I think there's great deliverance and healing that's waiting for us. If we will only get to the fact of understanding that we are in bondage by our choices, that some of our illness, some of our struggle, some of our brokenness is because we refuse to let go and let God fill that spot. And I want to encourage you all today, if you didn't feel the Holy Spirit moving in here during praise and worship, He wants to do something big. This isn't Karen's message. I'm so thankful that I got to struggle through this and get to use it as a way to speak to people. And as I stand here today, it's not me telling you something, because this is something that God told me. This is something that I had to hear, that I have to pray about every single day and surrender every single day. And I will tell you right now that if you're struggling with food, you're struggling with weight, you don't have to. The excuses don't work, but I can't lose weight. I've tried. It doesn't work. No. Uh-uh. Doesn't work that way. There's no body that cannot lose weight. There's only a person unwilling to surrender completely. and give this over as a spiritual battle. You know, Life Runners has been here now for 2 years. We walk every single Saturday. It's walking. It's a really good place to start. Obviously, my ministry requires fitness. I have to be at the peak of fitness. And you know what? When I go to groups and I meet up with different people, I don't eat the cookies. Because for me, it's not permissible. Because I'm not strong enough yet to consume those things. Those things still fight me. And until God releases me and says, you're where I need you to be now, I won't eat those things. And I think some of us here need to really think about what we need to give up. What are we holding on to? So on your piece of paper right now, if you haven't written already, I want you, we're going to take a minute. We're going to be quiet for a minute. I want you to reflect for a minute. What is it? Because I'm not going to accept no piece of paper going up in the air. Every single one of us has something we need to surrender to God today. And if you don't know what it is, you truly are sitting there and you're like, I don't know, then I want you to write reveal on your piece of paper. And I want you to seek God so he can show you what it is that you put above him. Because the only way we get better, the only way that we grow, the only way that we become spiritually stronger is to keep seeking and seeing where little seeds are being planted where we may not notice. So let's go ahead and take a minute and write on that piece of paper. No one's ever going to see it. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. Write on that piece of paper and then fold it in half. And then I'm going to have you lift it and I'm going to pray over all of us and then I'll release to Pastor Connor. When your piece of paper is ready, can you guys just hold it up so I can see where we're at? And I have my piece of paper. I already told you what mine is, so I don't need a piece of paper. Okay, you can put your arms down. We'll wait on the rest. Thank you so much that you're not finished with us. Yeah. Lord, that you are constantly at work in us and that you want us. You want all of us. So Lord, I pray over every person here in this room today. I pray that you put something in each one of our hearts, an area that you want to work on, an area that you want to break, an area that you want to change, a place that stands in between them and God. And I just pray that you would just help us, Lord, to be open-hearted and open-minded and to listen to you. I pray that you would give us the strength to admit that we're less than perfect and that we struggle in areas, because we all do. I thank you, Father, that all we have to do is surrender to you and you do the hard work. You teach us. You show us the way. So, Lord, as we lift up our struggling area to you, I pray that right now that you would just, it would be released to you. That we release this area into your hands, because you alone are capable of breaking any bondage, any spiritual strongholds in our lives. So Lord, we surrender this completely to you, and we pray that you would just give us wisdom and knowledge and guidance as we go forward trying to seek out how to change this area of our lives, how to have this area of our lives broken. I thank you, Father, for all the faithful hearts that sit sit here today, and I know that you want to do great things in every one of our lives, and that you need us fully surrendered for that. So I pray for complete and full surrender. I pray that the hearts would just let go and be free to just be ministered to by you, that you would just pour into us where we need it, and that we would just be willing to release. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share what you put on my heart. And I pray that it's gone out to the hearts of all people here today. And Lord, we're praying for miracles today. There are people here that are so bound up that they don't even know how to get free. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the spiritual strongholds are broken, that they are no more holding into these areas of their life, that these areas of their lives are broken, that those who turn to food will no longer look to it, that those who turn to work will no longer trust in it, that those who turn to relationships will no longer depend on them, but that we will turn completely to you. And if there's anyone sitting in this room today that is living in sin, that is pouring themselves into promiscuity or pornography or drunkenness or drugs or coddle, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they are set free, that they see that it is not going to hold them anymore. Break these bonds, Lord. We come expecting that you have great plans for our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand before you. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Pastor Cronin, so he can pray.